greet each one in the name of the Lord this morning. The Sunday school lesson and message are perhaps somewhat related in that as we think of the church and God's people and God's program in at the very end of time, we might say the last century, we see more and more that the extreme measures that Jesus talked about in our Sunday school lesson are necessary. It seems like as what we'll look at this morning about end time events, as Jesus taught us, we'll see that we need to be more and more careful, not less. And I think not only the teachings of Jesus, but all through the teachings of the apostles as well, you get that. That thought. The last message I preached on this subject talked about what the apostles taught about the church in the very end of time. This morning we want to look at the teachings of Jesus on this subject. And as we read through this, you'll notice, and as I did in reading this and studying this, that much of it fits our own time. I'm going to read quite a number of scriptures. Actually, the reading will be quite lengthy, but I'll try to get through it without making a lot of comments until afterwards. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew 24. And this is the longest one I want to read. But I want to read the same account from some of the others too, Mark and Luke. So I'll read this, first of all, Matthew 24, and I'm going to read all of the chapter. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See not all these things? See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except these days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or lo, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall be the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye ready, also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, when his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I'll read the same account from Mark, in Mark 13, just a little shorter chapter. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them, began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, ye be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter. But in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened these days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know that not what the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And then the shortest one is in Luke, and that's just part of a chapter, chapter 17, and starting at verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat and drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other left shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. They answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. I read all three of these accounts because there's some things that it says in one that it doesn't tell us in the other. And so to get a balance of this, I thought it would be good if we would look at all three. The main part of my message this morning is simply observations and warnings and lessons from these verses. When we read through these scriptures, sometimes we come up with, maybe most of the time, we come up with a number of questions. What period of time is he talking about? Now, the disciples ask him, especially the three different questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of a coming and of the end of the world? And when Jesus explained to them or talked to them then, he was explaining these three things. Now, there's some things that obviously refer to the destruction of Jerusalem. If we look into history, we'll see that some of those things would refer to that. However, when you go into the one in Luke, he moves that, or he says that, in connection with the time when the Son of Man will come, when the return of the Lord Jesus is. Like it says, Matthew and Mark say that, pray that your flight be not in the winter, or pray that you're not with child in those days. And that would be referring to a time of extreme tribulation, I guess you might say, and those are things that really wouldn't matter when the Lord Jesus returns. And so, but then when you come into the book, when Luke records it, he moves that or says that Jesus used that same thing. That same illustration when he talks about the last day. And so I guess my take on this, or my view of this, is that these things that Jesus talked about were not only for a present time, but also there's illustrations and there's applications that fit all through the last days. Now, the last days, the Bible talks about last days as being from the time that Jesus went back to heaven and the time that he comes again. This whole period of time is last days, and it's going on now over 2,000 years. And so we have then these things that Jesus was saying as illustrations not only of a certain time in history, but also of times that were coming. It seems that way to me as I read through this. And so what are some observations and warnings and lessons from these verses? We're looking at our subjects in my series of messages have been the church in the first century. We looked at the book of Acts and some of the preaching the apostles and how the church operated in the first century. And the last few messages we've been looking at what does the Bible say how the church will be just prior to when Jesus comes. And so that's what we're looking at now. And so we take from these teachings of Jesus a few lessons. First of all, great and subtle deception is evident. Jesus, over and over again, he says, don't be deceived, don't be deceived. Watch and pray. Be careful. Take heed that nobody deceive you. And so there's, in just prior to when Jesus will return, he is saying that there'll be great deception, and it'll be subtle. It will be so subtle that he's saying that even if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And so we take warning then from Jesus that, as he says over and over again, don't be deceived, be careful, watch, don't be taken. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect, he says. And so, as we think of our being in the last century, which I mentioned several times, I'm not sure of that, if it is or not, but it seems like it could be, that we are living in the very last century before Jesus returns. And I'm not setting a date doing that, because I'm telling you that, you know, it maybe we'll get into 2100 or whatever it is. We may get into that century. I'm not sure, or I won't. But there maybe Christ won't come before then. But it seems that we certainly need to realize that it's a lot closer than it was, at least, because as time goes on, we see more and more signs. Okay, Jesus says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Now, some of these things that Jesus said that would be evident in the last times are things that that have been evident ever since he spoke the words. You know, when Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and from that time on, even to the present time, it's the way it's been. There's one war will get over and another one will start, and sometimes there's two or three going on all at once. And very soon after Jesus spoke these words, there was terrible war that destroyed many of the Jewish people. And so wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, we'll hear of that. The persecution of Jesus' followers. And this is also a fact throughout history. From the time Jesus said these words until the very present time, this has been true. It's been a fact that throughout the history of the church, there are those who have suffered persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, the verse says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And this has been evident throughout the history of the church. Betrayal of each other. In Matthew 24, it talks about the servant. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. He describes there how that there will be betrayal of each other. One of the other places where we read it said even families will betray each other. This is, they will hate one another, it says. And we certainly aren't in, don't do that, do we? Hate one another and betray one another. And I had to think of the idea of gossip and rumor spreading and backstabbing that goes on even among so-called Christian people. And sometimes we may find ourselves guilty of that, where we maybe spread a rumor or gossip about someone. Is that, would that apply? I think it does. We need to be careful that we don't say things and spread things about other people that will tear them down, or will cause others to think less of them. We need to be careful of how we talk about people, so we don't spread rumors and gossip, betray each other. We don't want to be guilty of that. Another observation that Jesus gives here is the false teachers and prophets. And I guess I don't have to tell you, you all know that this is rampant in Christian circles today, so-called Christian circles, where there's those who are looked up to who are spreading false doctrine and false teachings. And we need to remember the words of Jesus, as that's the way it will be in the end time. Jesus said there'll be a disrespect for those things that are spiritual and holy. Jesus refers to Daniel's prophecy to illustrate this. And he talks, this is a bit of a question to us, just what all he means here, but Daniel talked about the abomination that makes desolate. History tells us that one of these Roman generals offered a pig on the altar in Jerusalem, and some think that perhaps that was what it was. I guess my application of that for this morning's message is that is the idea that seemed like there's nothing excuse me, there's nothing so sacred that it's off limits for mockery. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's ministers or whether it's God himself. It seemed like there's nothing off limits for people to make fun of and make mockery of. And Jesus was referring to this, or he was talking about this, I think, when he mentions that what Daniel's prophecy was. We need to be careful, folks, that we don't talk about or tell jokes that would make mockery of spiritual things. There's so much of it goes on, and maybe even in the name of just fun. But I think we need to be careful about that. I guess I have a problem with sometimes with these jokes that talk about people meeting St. Peter at the gate, and there's all kinds of them. I think we need to be careful that we don't make fun or mockery of those things that are sacred. And Jesus said it would be like that in the last time. He warned about that. Jesus warned about, the warning was about regarding material possessions. And here again, the idea of Jesus was saying that they should pray that their flight would not be winter in the winter and in a time when it was inconvenient for them to flee. And I mentioned already that when we come into Luke, he talks about this also when time of the Lord's return. We're not to regard material possessions, even legitimate things. Jesus said, your stuff is in the house. Don't go back and get it. He said, don't even turn around to go back and get your coat. I think illustrating here that material things are of very little importance when actually the trumpet sounds and the lightning flashes from one part of heaven to the other. Material possessions are of no value. They were told to flee and don't go back for things. And then he says, remember Lot's wife, right in this illustration, right in this setting. We don't know a lot about Lot's wife. We don't know where she originated or who she was other than Lot's wife. But Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And we know what happened to her. When the angels came to Sodom and they took Lot and his two daughters and his wife by the hand and led them out of the city so they wouldn't be destroyed in the overthrow of the city. And he said, don't look back, just flee, go. But Lot's wife looked back. And we can use all kinds of ideas and imaginations of what was in her mind at this point. She still had children back in Sodom. There were those who were Lot's son-in-laws and made a mockery of what Lot was saying. And they just scoffed at it. And so they still had family back in there. And I suppose this was something that was heavy on her mind. And anyway, she looked back and said she became a pillar of salt. And Jesus uses this illustration that as we think of the Lord's return, there's things behind us. There's maybe even family members. There's maybe things that we love and appreciate, and even people that we may love and appreciate. That when the Lord returns, that's it. And we need to look ahead. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said. When Jesus returns, our possessions, our stuff, our things, our clothes, our garments, everything will be left behind. Our most prized collections, our most important things that we own will be no more important when Jesus comes. Even physical life is of lesser importance. In Luke, Jesus said, if you attempt to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you will find it. In that very account in Luke, that's the 17th chapter. Jesus also talks, one of the things that he talks about is the worldwide knowledge of the gospel. We have, I guess there's two ideas here. Some people say the job's not done because there are many people who have never heard the name of Christ. The other idea is that really worldwide in all the nations, there, and he mentions nations here. He says, in every nation will be aware of the gospel. So is the job done or isn't it? Certainly, there are perhaps those who have never heard. But if, when you look at the nations of the world, it seems that, at least to me, it seems like about every nation there is has some way or another heard about the gospel. And of course, there's, like we say, there's individuals perhaps who haven't. But Jesus said here, it will be declared in every nation. The repetition of history is part of the warning. He talks about the days of Noah and Lot. I'd like to have us just turn to Genesis for a little bit. What was it like before the flood? Jesus gives a little, just a small account of it. He said they were, he was eating and drinking and everything was going on as normal. But what were some things that were evident before the flood? I'd like to look at just a few things. The fourth chapter, verse 17 says, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch." The idea of exalting a person, his own name. It wasn't named after the surrounding areas or for a mountain or for a river, but he named the city after his own son. The idea of perhaps of self-exaltation. Verse 19 of chapter 4 says, "And Lamech took unto him two wives, and so there was multiple marriages." Jesus tells us that in the very beginning it wasn't like this. There was one man and one woman. God created Eve for Adam, and it was one. But it wasn't very long into to history before they started taking more than one wife. And that was, Jesus said, like it was in the days of Noah. Verse 23 of chapter 4. "And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." Here was a man who murdered someone and then he just boasted about it. And violence in our... it says that's one of the things of the days of Noah, was that violence filled the earth. It tells us that in chapter 6, verse 13, for the earth was filled with violence. And here was a man who, he bragged about it. He killed a man and then bragged about it. And are we living in times when it's like the days of Noah? There was unrestrained passions. Chapter 6, verse 2. "Then the sons of man saw the daughters of men, and the sons of God saw the daughters of man, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose." It seemed like they were just unrestrained passions. And also an unequal yoke in marriage. It seemed like the sons of God or the godly people went out and married those who were not godly. So it says the sons of God came into the daughters of men. It was unequal yoke in marriage. There was wickedness. Wickedness of men was great. Verse 5 of chapter 6. "And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." There's a little note here in the center line of my Bible. It says, "The whole imagination with the purposes and desires of the heart was evil continually." The earth was corrupt. Verse 11 of chapter 6. The earth was filled with violence, verse 13. Alternate sexual lifestyle was common. That's in the days of Lot. That's where they get the name Sodomy. from the city of Sodom and the sin that was so prevalent there. Jesus said they planted, they builded, they ate, they drank. It seemed like their attention was taken up by everyday activities without regard for what was coming in the future. And that's probably one where we get caught up in. That all of our daily activities, in our daily activities, even the legitimate daily activities, is there this primary thought that these things are only temporary? And Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. The end will be swift and sudden and sure. Jesus talks about the trumpet and the lightning, and that's how it'll be when the end comes. And the end will be unexpected by the majority of society. In these verses we read, Jesus said that people won't be expecting it. People will be just thinking of other things, and all of a sudden, it will be there. Well, these observations and warnings and things that we see in this are perhaps they seem a bit negative, but there are some positive things, and that's what I want to close on. Comforting aspects of Jesus' teaching on this subject. First of all, the promise that we will be saved if we endure unto the end. He promised that in these scriptures. If we are faithful, we will be saved. He promises that the angels will gather in God's people from the four directions. He talks about the four winds and how that the angels will come and gather in God's people and will be gathered together to meet him. The promise he has in a couple of those passages we read is that heaven and earth will pass away, but not his word. My word shall not pass away. You know, we can count on it. We can count on the word of God as being true, as being, we can take it to the bank. No, we can count on it, an expression that's used. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Blessing is promised to those who are ready, who are faithful and wise, and are faithfully serving him. Are we among those? The Holy Spirit will give us the proper things to say when we are confronted about spiritual things. The Holy Spirit is faithful, and God is faithful. Jesus promises relief for those whom he calls the elect or chosen. He says we will be, he will make it possible for us to have, to be faithful. We have no reason to face the uncertainties of the future in fear. God is in control. And these are all things we learn as we read through these scriptures. If he knows the day and the hour, then we don't have to. Just simply be faithful. And I hope that we can, each one, learn from what Jesus has told us, learn from what we read and the illustrations he uses, and that we can be faithful to the very end. And that's my prayer for each of us.